You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Hey, everybody. It's Meg Watt here, and I am joined with my homegirl, Toni Brooks.
Yes, yes. What's going on, everybody? Detroit's bad girl in the building.
And welcome to the You Need Therapy 2 podcast. So we are just a couple of folks who decided to get together and share so much knowledge and wisdom that we've gained over the years. But we also want to talk in particularly about mental health and what that looks like in our lives. And I am really excited to have Toni Brooks co-hosting with me. Originally, I was going to do this on my own, but we have so much in common and so many differences that it just made sense to make it happen, right?
Yeah.
So I want to start
and
off.
Vinegar.
Yes. And I want to start off by talking about a few of those differences. So the first one is I have been in therapy for over 10 years consistently, like have gone. I've probably had about two or three different therapists over the years because I've lived in different locations. But whenever I move somewhere, I'm always, okay, it's time to find a new therapist. Who am I going to see while I'm here? And Toni Brooks.
Yeah, definitely zero therapeutic interactions unless anger management counts. Because I got into a little trouble and I do have to go to court ordered anger management.
So that is a form of therapy, you know, for those of you who may not know, although she's forced. It is a form of therapy. Don't you guys talk about like, you know, like conflict resolution and how to communicate better and all that good stuff in there?
Yeah, definitely. It definitely helps because I try to go at the end of the week, which is a Saturday, for the classes. And so I can go in and I'm able to get off whatever topic I want to talk about. It's called old business, new business. So it could be good or bad, but either way, we can talk about it at that time.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, for me, that's like therapy, you know, like mental health, especially in the Black community, is such a taboo phrase or term or word that nobody really wants to talk about. Nobody's really, you know, rushing to publicize that they even see a therapist. Mm-hmm. And so this for me was huge because mental health is all around us. It's like weaved into everything we do, every relationship that we have. And Toni Brooks, I know you are into relationship goals.
Oh, yes, very much so.
So like everything with your relationships, it's all mental health related because every issue that you can find in a relationship is connected to mental health in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So it's either going to have to do with a childhood wound that you haven't addressed and now is creeping up in your relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, how you act, how you move, how you react to everything. It's all because of something that was inside of you, something that happened to you. You either haven't addressed it, you haven't healed from it, and now it's a part of who you are. You know, you got that friend that's like, oh, she not driving, she not taking no road trips, she can only fly. It's like, okay, well, how come she can't take any road trips? It's okay, she gets real anxious and like it's just not good, she got a bad attitude. Like,
right,
guys, that's probably some PTSD from a car accident or some type of event that's happened in her life that she hasn't worked through.
Okay.
And now it's impacting how she moves.
Right.
When it doesn't have to, right? Like insomnia, that's another thing. Like I just posted this on social media. Like at least six or seven people in my timeline talk about some form of insomnia. Like can't sleep.
I definitely.
You too?
Yeah. No, I'm a night owl. Night owl. And I try to, you know, switch it up a little bit where I have, you know, I take a sleeper. That's what I call it, a sleeper. But it's just like a PM, you know, pain reliever.
Yeah.
Or
does it
something
help
that relaxes? Yeah. Well, what it helps is that it doesn't make me sleepy, but it helps me to continue to sleep without the restlessness.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
So the tossing and the turning is kind of cut out, you know, and then I'm able to just get a whole night worth of sleep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean.
So difference number two,
oh, yes,
obviously, is you have a PhD, right? Or a master's. I mean, you're like,
yeah, I have
the brainiac.
Yeah. I mean,
of this bunch.
I don't know if that's like actually true, but, I actually started a PhD program.
Okay.
In genetics.
Oh, nice.
At Penn State. And I ended up leaving with a master's.
See?
So I dropped out of school. I'm kind of a loser, actually.
Oh, what?
If you nail it down to it,
I'm actually
very, very, I'm a failure in life.
Oh my gosh.
No, but that was really, at the time, that was a traumatic experience when you talk about, like, hindsight is 20/20.
Mm.
When I was going through it, and this is something I haven't unpacked in therapy, Toni Brooks. I don't know. This is new stuff
this
right now.
Okay, let's save that for a new episode.
We will unpack that a little bit later, folks. Let's go back to a few more of these differences. But yeah, so I got the master's in genetics, and you actually went to school to do this, right? This
yes,
audiovisual
definitely
stuff.
Spec Tower Broadcasting over in Southfield, and I also attended Lawrence Technological University for communication, focusing on radio. I love it. Any type of microphone, that's all I need. So we're very different. Meg likes to organize everything.
Yes.
And I'm kind of fly off the handle style. She has a book.
I got a journal.
A laptop.
I got a
her
laptop
phone,
right here.
Her Apple Watch. And they're all consecutively going off at once so she can check the time. My phone is not working today. And so I didn't get the email. So we're just going to go off the dome
like
on this
she
side.
Doesn't even know what we're talking about right now.
I have no
and
clue.
She's totally fine with it. And I'm like, Toni Brooks, we got this outline. Okay, from 0 to 50 seconds, we're going to talk about this. From 50 seconds to 1 minute.
Yeah,
but
that's
I'm
not going to
that.
Work. Okay.
I'm working on that.
Yeah,
Tony's
cool.
Like, just chill, bro. Just chill.
Go.
And it's
organic.
So funny. Organic. And it's funny because like other people look at me. Okay, so I got this event coming up. I don't even have a location for the event right now. So like people are looking at me like, you don't have an event? Like, what's wrong with you? I would be freaking out. And I'm like, it'll work out. I'm like, it'll work out. Worst case, they'll just be at my house. We'll just do it like that.
Mm, mm-hmm.
But yeah, so it's weird how like some things you can be super duper stern and organized and focused with. And then other things you're like, it'll work out.
Yeah.
You know, we'll see what happens. So we're definitely, Megan is organized. Toni Brooks is play it by ear.
Spontaneous.
Spontaneous.
I like that one better.
I'm married. Megan, I've been married over 3 years. And so technically still a newlywed is, I think people always say like 0 years to 5 years is the newlywed phase.
Okay.
So, and then
so
Toni Brooks.
I've done everything you can do as far as relationships are concerned. I'm a baby mama. I've single now. I've been married / divorced / widow. I don't like to say divorce because I didn't feel that way when the things were taking place. And then he passed. So I always still refer to myself as a widow, not a divorced
ex-wife or former spouse.
Yeah. Neither one of those work good on my palate.
That's all right.
Yeah.
That's all right. Okay. So that's one difference. I am a cornball. This is what Toni Brooks says. I actually like this title. I'm like, okay, that's a dope title. I'm a cornball. Explain that a little bit more, Toni Brooks, compared to you. What does that mean?
So, you know, I think it's more of your persona. It's very, like, bland. In a good way. But bland nonetheless. So as I'm getting dressed for our photo shoot yesterday, I'm like, okay, should I wear the shirt with the flowers? Or is that going to send Meg into a spiral? Maybe I should just wear a solid color. And then that way she'll be okay. So her reaction was like, oh, that sweater's so cute. And I'm like, I knew she'd like
it's this a plain
one.
Jay sweater.
Man,
it's
it
so
was so plain.
Plain.
It didn't have any cleavage out or anything. It was a crew neck.
Listen. Cleavage. Okay. So that's another difference. That's another difference between us right there.
The girls.
Toni Brooks is the fashionista style queen. Whenever you see her, she is going to be fly, dressed to the T, face beat, hair done, nails done, all of that. Lashes on fly.
Yeah.
Okay?
I just got there.
Take that. Take the opposite of everything I just said. And then that's me. Megan is, I actually have a, there's a term. I am what you would call gender non-conforming. This is an actual phrase.
Of course you know yes. It's a phrase. Did you Google that? Are you kidding me right now?
This is an actual, listen, for my job, I had to do some training on LGBTQIA+.
And we learned so about all these.
Exactly. And so we learned about all these terms, but really it was like, it was a huge identity break for me. Because, okay, so I'm just going to get into it. I was really questioning myself, like trying to figure out all these years, how come I don't like purses? How come I don't like makeup? How come I don't like jewelry? You know, all this stuff. And I'm like, I knew I wasn't gay. Yeah. And I'm like, but if I'm gay, just be gay. It's okay. Like, nobody's going to care.
Right.
Like, you're going to live your life. You stand in your truth. But I wasn't gay. But then when I went to this training and this lady explains gender nonconforming, she's like, yo, in our life, you know, people are born, you know, when you're younger, you would be classified as a tomboy, which I was a tomboy.
Me too.
You too.
Yeah.
Athlete, you know, you wore big clothes. You hung out with the boys. You played with the boys.
Right.
But then society forces you to go into that girl
one
direction.
One way or the other.
That lady direction. So you start wearing dresses. You start wearing purses. You start doing all these things that I don't like.
Was it society or boys? Because it was boys for me. I was like, well, let me put this little skirt on.
But I was always getting boys, though. You know, because I got a cute face,
And you like sports.
I like sports. So, like, I can always, you know. I always had dudes as friends.
It's always a winner.
And I happen to have, I have a big ass. I mean, it is what it is. I have a big ass. I have big titties.
Yeah.
So I never had an issue getting dudes. And then the older I got, the more I realized that it was probably a turn on for them, for me to be like that, because they thinking I'm going to bring a chick. You know what I mean? So I never had an issue with the dudes.
Okay.
But I was always like, yo, am I get, like, what's wrong with me? This lady broke it down. I was like, I'm never wearing a dress again. And I'm okay with it.
Is this because of your first? So what was your, why did you start the therapy? Did it have, was it that or?
No.
Okay, so let's start therapy? Yeah, let's see why you started therapy in the first place.
All right. So, I'm smiling because this is an interesting story, but it just goes to show you how I could see how so many of us can go through traumas and not even get help because you just assume, like, you're always taught, just do it.
Yeah.
God got you. Push through it. You know, endure. But so what happened was I graduated from Howard University in D.C., ended up going to Penn State in Pennsylvania. And I had a boyfriend at that time in D.C. And he was traveling to visit me from D.C. to Pennsylvania.
Okay.
This dude, he always left late. And I'd be like, can you just try to get here before it's dark?
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
How far is that drive?
It's like 2.5 hours.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Okay. I want to say 2.5 hours. So long story short, he called me when he left and it was like 10:30 at night. Yeah. So that's problem number one. I'm like, dude, why are you trying to? Long story short, he ends up getting into a car accident, like in the mountains in Pennsylvania, partially ejected from the vehicle, airlifted to Hershey Medical Center to their neuro ICU unit, right?
Oh,
ICU
my gosh.
Unit. No, that's not right. Neuro ICU. And like, I'm calling everybody. It's like midnight, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I'm calling highway patrol. I'm calling my mom. I'm calling the police station's trying to figure out what is going on. I haven't heard from him. Obviously, he's not picking up.
Right. And he normally calls when he gets home.
Yeah, he normally calls. So he was coming from D.C. to see me.
Oh, he hadn't. Oh, okay.
He hadn't arrived to my apartment.
Oh, so you definitely was wondering where he is.
Right. I'm freaking out.
Yeah.
I'm freaking out. So, you know, I'm calling all these places. Finally, I call a hospital and they have a John Doe.
Oh,
it's funny.
Goodness.
My ex's name is John. So I'm like, okay, maybe that's a sign. Maybe it's him, you know. But they can't tell me anything because I'm not family.
Right.
So now I'm trying to get in contact with his family who are in D.C. It's the next day. And I'm like driving an hour. So the hospital was an hour away from my school.
Okay.
So every day I'm driving an hour back and forth to see him. Mind you, I'm a first year PhD student in genetics at Penn State.
Wee.
A black girl.
Yeah.
From an HBCU who nobody wanted to see me in that program.
Exactly.
Let's just be honest. Except for the guy who admitted me. Yeah. Shout out to Dr. Ordway. but that was already a stress-filled time.
Anyway.
So now you gonna compound that with an accident? Like, this dude is laid up. He got a tube coming out of his head with blood draining.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's how intense it was. It was crazy. So, obviously, PTSD, right? Like,
yeah.
Let's just call a thing a thing.
Yeah.
I am in a post-traumatic state right now.
Yeah.
And I am at a presentation for school. So it's like a poster presentation where, you know, you present your research and then people walk around and they judge you. And so this lady was walking around from the counseling office. And again, I'm laughing because I'm like, I don't even know how all this happened. But she approaches me and we start talking. I do not remember any of the conversation.
Okay.
But apparently she must have noticed something on my face. Because I'm sure I was numb at that point.
Right.
I mean, just trying to survive, you know. So we ended up talking. Mm-hmm. And that's how my therapy journey began. And I never stopped going after that. And needless to say, you know, I broke up with that guy and realized that relationship was hella toxic, which we'll be talking about later. But later episodes. But yeah, that's how I started. And I have not stopped since.
Wow.
And I have tried over the last 10 years, I have tried many, many, many different modalities.
Yeah.
Many different. And so that's one of the things that I'm excited to talk about with this podcast. But yeah, that's me. What about you, Tony Bricks?
That's a chunk out of life there.
Yeah. So 10 years, 2 weeks.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Yeah. I will say my first endeavor was grief counseling. My youngest child drowned in his dad's bathwater. And so, you know, I wasn't going to go, but his mother was like, maybe you guys, you know, should go and talk to someone. You sure? Like, maybe you just try it. Just go one time, you know. And she was with, at that time, she was with Hospice of Michigan. So they have grief counselors, you know, on staff. So we went and... we went, and then we didn't.
So you went with him?
Mm-hmm. We went together to that one.
This wasn't even one-on-one therapy then?
Nope, it was me and my husband. Yeah, so we went, and he didn't say anything. You know, I don't even think he wanted to be there. He was just kind of there.
Sure.
Obviously, his trauma with the situation was different.
Yeah.
As being the one who found the baby soaking wet, you know. That's definitely different.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and then that was that. We didn't go another time after that or anything. And then my next encounter was after a suicide attempt. I then went, I was like, okay, well, maybe I should go talk to somebody, you know. So then I go to a guy and he just kind of kept a laptop and just kind of read back the stuff I said to him. And I'm like, this is not how it goes on TV.
Oh, my
God. Wait a second. I thought we were supposed to be engaging in a conversation here and trying to figure out what's going on. So I gave him another two chances, and then that was it.
Oh, yeah.
So that was my therapeutic experience, guys.
I will say that was her talk therapy experience, because clearly, Tony Bricks does have other therapeutic experiences and releases that she does, right?
I do. Karaoke is my go-to. You can find me at karaoke. I can find a karaoke every day. Like, if I need it, if I was having a stressful day, the first thing I would say is, I'm gonna go to karaoke tonight.
Yeah.
And then it's really just the words that the artists are saying can relate to what I'm dealing with at the time. And then I can belt it out myself.
Yes.
And that'll release some of that energy off of me.
Dog. And there's so many people who do that. Like, music therapy is real, right? Like, they have music therapy in hospitals, like, to try, you know, child specialists use music therapy to get the kids to relax before they got to do shots or any special treatments and things.
Okay.
Like, it's used all over. And it's, we don't call it a thing. But when you see so many documentaries on artists, and they have these fans just going crazy and losing themselves and crying. Like, that's because they found something in that music that has helped them through something big.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, that's real. I definitely
like
believe
Jay-Z
in that.
Jay-Z was, when I was younger, in my younger years, teenage mom, you know, relationship issues and Jay-Z was my go-to.
Yeah.
Like, there were certain songs of his that I could play and be like, okay, don't kill anybody today. Jay-Z said, let the song cry.
Yeah.
And so I say, okay, we're going to let the song cry today. And we'll definitely be crying at the concerts, crying on those particular songs because they were emotionally healing at that time in life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like there's so many things like, and everybody I talk to, anybody listening to this can attest to the fact that whenever I have a conversation with somebody, I'm always trying to figure out, what are you doing to make yourself happy? What makes you happy? You know, what calms you down?
Yeah.
What resets you?
Definitely always ask the W's. Definitely. Whenever we're talking, I'm like, yeah, this is what I'm just like, well, so what are you going to do about that? And I'm like, well, if I knew, I wouldn't be telling you right now. I'm thinking you're going to help me out, not ask me another question.
No, that's funny. But it's so when you mentioned being a teen mom, that's another difference between us. So Toni Brooks, well, I'll say for myself, no kids. I'm not interested in having kids either. And I feel very strongly about that. In fact, I was really bloated a couple days ago. And I looked in the mirror and like,
actually
got scared, right? Like, I didn't get excited. You know what I mean? So that just further lets me know that this is no interest of mine whatsoever. But Toni Brooks?
I do. I do have four children. Again, one deceased, three living. My youngest is 13 and he suffers from autism spectrum disorder. I have a 16-year-old male who is a dancer at the Detroit School of Arts.
Hey,
and then I have
shout out to DSA.
20-year-old daughter who is a student at Jackson.
Man.
Yeah. So
you got a gamut. Ooh.
Yeah.
Parenting.
And I don't have a problem. I mean, I love kids. I'm like, all the new babies coming. I'm like, and it could be because of the passing of the baby.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I'm Auntie Toni. Bring me that baby over here.
Yeah.
When you gonna bring that baby over here? I'm coming to see the baby today. Oh, you need the baby to come over? You gotta run to the store. Okay, good. I'm home. Bring the baby.
And I'm the friend that's like, please put me at the bottom of the babysitting list. Like the bottom. Like you got an emergency and nobody else on your string is available.
Yeah.
Okay, hit me up. But otherwise.
Oh my God.
Otherwise, I don't know. I'd rather just talk to adults. I don't.
Okay. That's okay.
No, don't get me wrong. Like, my family, I'm a ride or die for my family.
Yeah, it's plenty of kids in the family for sure.
Yeah. So.
And if you all don't know, we are cousins through marriage.
Yes, we are.
Yes. So it's plenty of kids to go around.
Plenty of kids to go around. Yeah. And Toni Brooks probably doesn't even know this, but she was a hooper. Do you classify as still a hooper?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Once a hooper, always a hooper.
Yeah, you don't forget. You get slower, but I'll still drain the nets.
Yes. So she's a hooper. And I'm like, I was a fan of Toni Brooks. Like in high school, I used to watch her because I was a hooper too. And there was definitely some kids in Detroit that I used to follow and watch, and she was one of them. So it's kind of cool how we're here today and we are talking some good stuff here. So do you want to move on to the next segment? We got a couple segments for y'all, too.
Absolutely. Let's keep it flowing.
Okay. So the next topic.
Just hit it.
Yeah.
Don't even intro it. Just
know,
hit it, cousin.
I know. Okay. So I'm going to call it Meg's Therapy Pick.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Meg's Therapy Pick is basically going to be a type of therapy modality that I have either experienced or someone reaches out to me and they're like, have you done this before? Or I've done it before and this was my experience. So I'm either going to be sharing other people's experiences with it or mine. Okay. So the first one, and it's also posted on our website, uneedtherapy2.com, is EMDR. EMDR. Mm-hmm. So EMDR is eye movement desensitization reprocessing.
Okay.
And what this basically does, because I want to make this clear, I am not a licensed professional. I am strictly a patient.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So full disclosure. But EMDR is basically the process of removing an emotional attachment that you have to a trauma that you've experienced. So I did this with Dr. Maureen Graham. Shout out to Dr. Graham. And it was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. And I actually did it just on some exploratory stuff. Like, I did not think that I had experienced any traumas, which is probably true for many
Everyone.
People listening.
Exactly.
You know, we all think like traumas. I haven't experienced any traumas. You know, like
yeah.
we only think traumas are dying.
Like, exactly.
If you die, then
that's
your
trauma.
No, no, actually. Like, traumas are real and there's way more definitions than just dying. But so I did it because I went to a workshop and she was there talking about it. And there was a lady at the workshop whose daughter died.
Okay.
And this lady cried every day for 7 years straight. Every day she cried for 7 years
wow.
straight. Can you imagine the physical toll that took on her body?
Right.
I'm not even talking about
sure
the
she
mental.
Couldn't even get anything done.
How can you get anything done? You're in such a state of distress. So, okay. So this lady was there talking and she was like, yeah, you know, I have been crying, you know, all this time, every day. And then I did two sessions of EMDR.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I couldn't get myself to cry. She said, I went home, I was looking at videos, I was looking at photos, and nothing triggered me to cry. I was trying to make myself cry and I couldn't.
Right.
This is what she was saying. I was
yeah.
like, oh my God, this is intense, you know?
Uh-huh.
So I started seeing her. And so we started doing EMDR. And the first question she asked me was, I want you to write down all the traumas that you've experienced in life.
Okay.
And it was quiet for like 10 seconds because I was like, what? Traumas? I haven't really experienced any traumas. Like, what do you
referring
mean?
To, yeah.
Yeah. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And I don't even remember the list or her answer. This is how crazy this is. I don't even remember what she said after that, but she guided me through identifying traumas.
Okay.
Because it was like, oh, okay. All right. Maybe that is a trauma. Like, I didn't even
yeah,
think about it.
That kind of hurt me a little bit.
Yeah. Yes. Or like, like one of the traumas I remember writing down was I was on a bus in 2013 that caught on fire,
mm-hmm.
like to the frame, the bus burned down and I had to escape the bus on the highway.
What?
With like 50 other passengers over
no,
the age of 60.
I remember this. I remember this story.
I'm in the back of the bus and I have to make my way, you know, off the bus.
Yes.
Yeah. So trauma.
Wow.
But I didn't internalize it like that. I was just like,
oh
yeah,
I was on
the bus.
On
the
fire.
Bus caught on. Yeah. I mean, I almost died, but you know, whatever.
It's cool.
It's cool.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. Mm-hmm. Tony Brooks. Isn't that what we do? We just keep it moving. So that was one of the traumas. Let's see, there was a few other traumas. Definitely, I have childhood wounds that, you know, as I look back on them, I'm like, yeah, that definitely damaged
so
how I look at things.
Actually, did what were the steps? You're going to give the audience the steps so that they can heal?
No, I'm not going to give them the steps. I'm going to refer them to a therapist to get this themselves. But the EMDR, like, it's like talk therapy, but you're listening to like some noises. It's like the noises kind of sound like doom.
I'm mad you're making the sound effects right now.
That's how it sounds. But as you listen to them with the headphones and you talk to the therapist about uh-huh. that trauma, you're going to get emotional. Whatever emotion that was connected to that, the point is that they talk through it.
Okay.
You bring up that emotion and then something happens with the doom, 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 doom. And somehow it reprocesses your emotional attachment. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
So the way that I know it worked is because whatever trauma I was working through, and I really can't think of it right now. I think it was daddy issues.
Okay.
Whatever trauma I was working through, it no longer elicited that response for me.
Okay.
I was no longer emotional when I would think about it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I was no longer afraid to ride on a 55 passenger bus.
Right.
Yeah. It was just crazy.
Oh, so you didn't even want to ride on the buses after that?
Oh, no. No.
Okay.
The next week, I had to travel. And I was doing some training for work. And the way that they transported us was from this 55-passenger bus to the location. And I couldn't do it. I had to have somebody drive me in, like, a taxi. Yeah. PTSD, people. call a thing a thing.
I love how your country accent comes out of nowhere.
PTSD, people.
Like, where are you from right now?
I have no idea. I do so many impersonations. So if it just comes out, people just deal
with it. That's the cornball in
there. That's the cornball.
Yes.
So I do impersonations. That's another difference.
Yeah.
I know we over differences, but you're a singer. I'm not.
Yeah.
But like,
just for therapy. It's therapy for me. I'm not a singer. I like to sing. There's a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't think you're a singer?
No, I don't. I like to sing.
Wait. Yeah. Okay. Well, how do you define you don't think you're a singer, but you like to sing?
Well, I feel like singers pursue entertainment in that field. Like, you want to be, you're a singer, so you go out and you pursue singing.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I like to sing.
Okay. Yeah.
And they try a lot. Like, oh, you should come and do, man, you don't want to be a singer. No, I just like it. I don't want to be a singer though.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. So Meg's therapy pick for this episode is EMDR. If you are struggling with any PTSD or behavioral modifications or changes due to a trauma, definitely seek this out. I think it was super duper helpful for me, and I would do it again if I felt like I needed to. Mm-hmm. Relationship goals?
I've become obsessed with the whole relationship thing, and not just romantically, but just relationships with people in general, and the way you deal with people. So we are just going to try to intertwine the two. So once you deal with your trauma, your EPD, MPD, EMPD?
EMDR.
Yes.
EMDR.
What she said. Once you deal with your EMDR,
yes,
then you can try to intertwine that issue with whatever relationship you're dealing with. So if I had to think of some kind of way to put those things together. Okay, here's an example. So Megan had the traumatic event on the bus, and now she no longer wanted to ride on the bus. I have a phobia about natural disasters, okay? But my phobia affects the people around me. So, example, we're riding, and I'm the driver, and we're going to Canada.
Okay.
Over the bridge, because I definitely am not going in the tunnel, for sure. Whatever may happen, I won't be down there. So we're going over the bridge, and I have three passengers with me. And we get past the checkpoint, and we go across the green light, and we're literally in almost to the middle of Ambassador. Okay. Almost to the middle. I literally bust a U-turn. In the middle. Boom. That's it. I got to go back.
What?
Yeah. So
what happened?
I don't know. I just started to hyperventilate. And I was like, okay, guys, I shouldn't have been the driver. And I just turned around and I went back. And the car following it, they're all like looking out the window like, where are they going? You know? And I'm waving like, see you later. Bye. But I probably should do some EPMD.
EPMD?
So EDREM? Tell me one more time.
EMDR.
Yes.
Eye movement.
Yes.
Desensitization.
Eye movement.
Desensitization.
Let me look this way because I'm turning around and going back. Desensitize. Okay, guys. Have fun over there. I'm not going.
Movement. I'm moving this car.
Moving this car.
Reprocess. This is a bad decision. We're not doing this again.
It's a bad decision.
If there's any therapist listening, they're going to be like, what is this? No, we are encouraging people to seek professional
definitely.
Help if you have any of these issues.
But that would be my example as far as the relationship goes.
Okay, so but where did that come from, though? Natural disasters?
Yeah, like I think it was probably 9/11 first because I was younger then.
Okay.
So that was probably the first thing, like, what? They just flew them planes into the building. Oh, my God.
It could be any building that I'm in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So then right after that, it was tsunami. Mm. Okay. So cruise ship is definitely out of the question. I'm trying to put it on my bucket list, but as of right now, that's a no-go.
Well, it's been a lot of news reports with these cruise ships having some issues. So I'm not a fan of cruises personally.
Everybody lives and dies by the cruise, though. They're like, go on a cruise. It's the best thing in the world.
I'm not a super fan. I've been on a couple. And I mean, I could do without it. I would rather fly somewhere and experience all the culture.
Yeah.
Like the cruise, you got to get off. You can only experience so much because you ride by the ship. You want to stay by the ship.
So you've been on one, but you just didn't like it.
I've been on two.
And
they were both cool. But it's just not. Yeah. I feel like I love traveling so much that I just want to see so much more, do so much more other than a cruise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's probably, that's where it came from, for sure.
That is such an interesting topic because, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of people talking about the PTSD of President Trump being elected.
Okay.
And how it has really affected them. Like Chelsea Handler said, it sent her into a nervous breakdown.
That's insane.
So, but you think about these natural occurrences and natural events that affect us, and we don't talk about that either. We just everybody's just living day to day. Meanwhile, they are affected by this stuff.
Absolutely.
So that is so interesting. 9/11.
Mm. Yep, definitely.
And then tsunami. Okay, so I like how you connected to EMDR. Yes, Toni Brooks does need some EMDR so she can remove the emotional attachment that she has to natural disasters.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I mean, I think we should wrap it up for episode one.
I think so.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I think next time we should just break into, let's start with childhood wounds.
Right out the gate.
Yeah.
Just hit
let's
the ground
start there,
running.
You know, with the kid, and then we could work our way up, you know? Because the childhood wounds
let
is
me
what
tell
be
you
jacking
something.
Us up.
During this time that we have together, I ain't going to be your guinea pig. I'm going to let you know that. Now, you better get somebody else in here that want to talk about their issues.
We have a guest. For childhood wounds. Shannon Davis from Detroit is going to come out and chat with us.
Okay.
And she's been on her journey for a while, too.
Oh, okay.
So,
good.
Yeah. But we are taking... If you're interested, please follow us on social media, Instagram, UNITherapy2, the letter U, Need Therapy, the number 2. We are on Instagram, Facebook, and then that's also our website, UNITherapy2.com. Toni Brooks, where can they find you?
Definitely at Toni Brooks, TONIBROOKES, on all the social media outlets. I'm known as Detroit's Bad Girl. I am one of the cooler female hosts in the city. But yeah, I'm normally downtown area, doing parties down there. So that's what I do. And then I also have Tea Time with Toni Brooks, which is a relationship video cast that I do on Facebook, on my page at Toni Brooks, or on the Tea Time page, which is at TB'S Corner.
Perfect. And until next time, guys, you think you got it all together, but you probably need therapy too.